Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In this chamber, we put our differences aside in favor of the common good. And as a result, New York can blaze a national path towards health and hope.
Who was that giving the State of the State address in Albany yesterday? Elliot Spitzer or Barack Obama? All that talk about unity and disagreeing without being disagreeable didn't sound like any steamroller I know.
Last year, although our differences often attracted more attention than our agreements, we came together to produce real change where progress had eluded the state for years.
The biggest new proposals by the governor, a $4 billion endowment for SUNY and CUNY to expand research for economic development, and a commission to study a property tax cap. There was also the Triborough Bridge renaming to the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Bridge, state money to expand child health insurance now that President Bush has refused federal money, plus a crackdown on shady mortgage lenders and help for struggling homeowners, among other things. We will get Democratic and Republican views. First, the Lieutenant Governor of New York State, David Paterson. Hello, Lieutenant Governor. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And let me jump right into this SUNY and CUNY endowment. $4 billion, 2,000 new full-time faculty positions. Why so much focus on higher education?
Well, on the news with Chris Riley, they played a quote from Richard Brodsky, who I've got a call today because he described this as a revenue stream creating a capital item that produces another revenue stream, and he said this is highly irresponsible.
That was how to pay for it, by leasing part of the state lottery, correct?
Exactly. And what I'm contending is that's exactly why it's such a great idea, because it's, in the past what we did is we would sell off capital items to create operating costs, and we commonly referred to them in Albany as one-shots. But this is something where you take an entity and you don't spend it right away, you hold it as an endowment like they do in the private sector and in a lot of independent universities. And I think it's certainly a cutting edge, but certainly an interesting idea. But to your main question, Brian, as we look at the major corporations and we look at why we're having so many problems in New York State, people moving to South Carolina, moving to Nevada, moving all over the country, because they just can't take the taxes. The businesses can't hire people because of the encumbrances that are placed on them. It's actually your educated society. It's the workforce that has to be operating at a certain level to deal with the new biotech jobs, the research and development jobs, jobs that will require a lot more ability than they did before. And that's why our whole country is falling behind in terms of the global economy. So what Governor Spitzer, through this endowment fund, its real purpose is to try to make New York as well an educated workforce as possible, but additionally to then entice the kinds of companies that would keep college graduates in New York, as 30% of them are relocating after they finish school. And we now have an older society in New York, heavily dependent on services, but we don't have the younger society, the new workforce, providing the broad tax revenue base that would obviously would take care of the rest of the state.
So the goal here, it sounds like, is more economic development than education. That the idea is to expand, especially Buffalo and Stony Brook, as research centers, mostly to create jobs. Is that fair?
I would say that's fair. I mean, in other words, we want to have the best educated group of young people in the country, but we definitely have a purpose for it. It's not education just to sit around and be academic. We want to provide opportunities for those people.
By the way, why not my alma mater, the State University of New York at Albany? Isn't that another major research university?
It absolutely is. It's actually, there's some applications.
But I keep hearing this is for Buffalo and Stony Brook primarily.
Well, you know, Brian, not only, I never knew that that's where you graduated. I'm going to feature that as I talk about it a lot.
Yes, my undergraduate. Okay, so the governor did reject the proposal of his higher education task force, which came up with this idea, But they had another proposal, too, which was to charge different tuition at different SUNY campuses, especially more for those research universities because they have all those research expenses. Why did he reject that?
I think that it was certainly an idea that was explored, but we did not want to basically change the state university system into different systems. We wanted to try to keep it the same for all students around the state. And as much as we have different regions that provide different opportunities, at the same time, we are one state. We wanted to have one state tuition.
Now let's talk about the Property Tax Cap Study Commission. That's going to make some people's eyes glaze over, but certainly a lot of folks are interested in their property taxes. But I guess some people are probably asking, don't we already know how to cap property taxes and the trade-offs involved?
Okay, Brian, you're right. I'm going to try to do this without making anybody's eyes glaze over. Back in the 90s, when we first started to have these elevating property taxes, Governor Pataki brought in a system known as STAR. And without defining it too much, let's just say STAR is a rebate for homeowners whose property taxes are rising. But in spite of us throwing more and more money into STAR, the property taxes kept going up. When Governor Spitzer came in, he promised a $6 billion property tax relief fund over the next three fiscal years. Very ambitious, and we did $1.3 billion of it last year. Here's where I think Governor Spitzer is showing some extraordinary flexibility here, because during the campaign, both of his rivals, Tom Suozzi, the county executive of Nassau who ran in the primary, and John Fosso, the former assemblyman from Hudson who ran in the general election, advocated for a hard cap, in other words, a cap on property taxes. Governor Spitzer realizes that perhaps his opponents may have had an idea since nothing else is working. But rather than just placing in a hard cap, he wants to have a bipartisan commission take a look at this, because you can have these extraordinary reliefs and then you have situations that are the exceptions to the rules. And I'll give you an example of one. Mm-hmm. Suppose a neighborhood built a school. Well, the price of the school would drive the taxes up over the cap. But everybody in the neighborhood wants a school. So what you might do is have what you call a budget referendum where you need a supermajority, as they do in Massachusetts, where 60% of the people will say, look, we want to get rid of the cap because we have to build a school. So it's the exception. Now, if you have too many exceptions, then you have diluted the whole plan. But what Governor Spitzer is saying is, I'm ready to do the cap, but I just want to make sure that I have a commission that's bipartisan with Moreland Act features. In other words, they can subpoena people. They can, governors use these types of commissions maybe once and twice.
Is it going to be a bipartisan commission?
Absolutely. We want it as a bipartisan commission because it was actually the Republicans, for the most part, who thought of this idea. And obviously, many of the upstate regions are represented more by Republicans than Democrats, so they would be critical of this process, and we'd be delighted if they would help. Now, what you're going to hear from the Republicans is, we don't have time. We're in a hurry. We've got to do this as soon as possible. Well, the school budgets won't be voted on until May, and our budget won't be voted on until April. And if this commission sat around for a year or two and didn't do anything, then they'd be absolutely right.
Is it going to be like a three-week commission?
Well, I don't know how long the commission will be, because other than County Executive Suozzi, who's going to chair it, the governor hasn't appointed anyone else to the commission. But let's just say that the fact that he's giving it these Moreland Act powers is the indication of how serious the governor is.
But you're saying it's going to come in with its recommendations in time for this year's budget with the April 1st budget deadline.
I would think that would be the ambition, to have it work that way, because we are not minimizing the gravity of this situation.
We have time for just a few phone calls for Lieutenant Governor David Patterson. Then we'll get a Republican response to Lieutenant Governor Patterson and Governor Spitzer's State of the State address yesterday. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 on property taxes, on education investment, on the Tribor Bridge, or anything else, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Mark in Manhattan has a question about SUNY. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, basically, one of my questions is trying to get the government and schools to try and meet students at their particular level, because I think that one of the best answers you can get for why students would stay in New York postgraduate would be directly from them. Meeting them would be on, you know, several networking sites out there like Facebook, but I know that there's more of a professional private networking blend out there like MyWorkster.com, which builds private networking sites for schools, and more importantly, organizational networking sites for like the entire SUNY system, where employers can post jobs specifically into that network. So only these SUNY students or other or CUNY students can see these jobs and apply for them.
Lieutenant Governor, quickly on this.
The governor's wife, Silda Spitzer, who is working on an initiative called I Live New York, is doing exactly that, going around the state listening to students. I don't know about the Facebook aspect of it, but I'll make her aware of it today.
That's I Live New York?
I Live New York.
By the way, we've spoken about SUNY a lot. Where does CUNY come in?
Well, CUNY is ancillary to SUNY in respects, and will, you know, obviously be eligible for some of the same services.
All right. Well, let's see. You know, I want to ask you about what wasn't in this speech, and that is, whatever happened to reforming Albany's dysfunction? The governor supposedly had a mandate from the voters to do just that. That's what was probably the biggest thing in the news when he was elected and inaugurated. But this speech bypassed ethics reform, bypassed campaign finance reform, except for a brief mention. And campaign finance reform almost got through last year until Troopergate seemed to scuttle the deal. Is reforming the dysfunction in Albany suddenly on the way back burner?
The first thing is that when the governor came in, we instantly reformed some of these issues where the governor and the lieutenant governor would do all these public service announcements that really were campaign commercials. We don't do that anymore. We've limited the amount of money that we raise. So our first initiative was for the physicians to heal themselves, which is what I think we did. We went on to get the cooperation of the legislature in legislative reform and also in budget reform and in lobbying reform. So a lot of the technical aspects of it were achieved in the first month of the Spitzer administration. The big barrier was campaign finance administration, and although I didn't ask the governor this, I'm just going to guess, that although we are just as interested in passing campaign finance reform, and he did mention it in his speech yesterday, we decided perhaps not to make it a feature of the State of the State address, since it was such an issue that caused acrimony last year, and perhaps in a quieter way, sit down with Senator Bruno and his conference and try to work out an agreement. We were a lot closer to an agreement in June last year than anyone knew. So perhaps with, you know, a more strategic approach and more sensitive to their concerns, the governor is showing that, in addition to quoting Thomas Jefferson and the quotes you played, where he's reaching out and trying to demonstrate an ability to work with our colleagues a little better than perhaps we did last year.
When you say you were closer to an agreement than anyone knew last June, was it Troopergate that then made Joe Bruno say, that's it, I'm not cooperating with you on campaign finance reform, or was it policy?
There were some policy differences. We weren't that far apart. And then I would say when July came and the legislature went home, interestingly enough, on a Thursday, which my work week always ended on a Friday, we felt that we'd come back in July and we'd get this straightened out. Obviously, the Troopergate situation occurred in July, and I can't say that it didn't dampen or chill the atmosphere.
All right. Before you go, Lieutenant Governor, one politics question. I couldn't help but notice that at Hillary Clinton's Iowa caucus night speech, she had a tableau of four people in the camera shot behind her: Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, Terry McAuliffe, and you. How did you get that coveted position?
I don't know, but if you'd noticed that I'm not in the camera shot in New Hampshire, and she won.
Why was that?
Probably because I wasn't involved in the New Hampshire campaign.
You know, after Betsy McCoy, I thought no lieutenant governor would ever be in an important photo op again. But
well,
I
was. I had gone to Iowa several times. I actually spent New Year's Eve in Iowa, at 12 o'clock on New Year's, I was in a church celebrating the anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, and you know, it worked really hard there, and that was where they asked me to stand, and so I was delighted to be there, to be honest with you.
I don't know if you heard our previous guest, the Harvard Law professor Randall Kennedy, who wrote a book on racial betrayal. and talked about all this heat that different African Americans get for different things that aren't seen as being in total solidarity with the community. Are you getting any heat for not endorsing Barack Obama?
No, I think that people know that Hillary Clinton came to New York. She did a lot for the African American and Hispanic communities in New York, helping to diversify the party more than it ever had been. Carl McCall, the first African American to run for governor in 2002, and I was the first African American to be elected on the executive level in 2006 as lieutenant governor. And, you know, I'm glad we're in a society now where you can be loyal to someone who has been that helpful to you and has been so helpful to so many that you represent, that I could support Hillary Clinton and people in the African-American community. I was on with Bill Perkins, probably the most outspoken advocate for Barack Obama, who I consider to be not only a friend, but maybe the most outstanding leader of our generation. Bill Perkins was my successor in my Senate seat, and he totally understands why I want to support Hillary Clinton. And obviously, both of them have very progressive agendas that we would be happy to support in the general election. And so I think that this kind of refutes what Mr. Kennedy is saying.
Lieutenant Governor David Patterson, thanks as always for coming on with us. Happy New Year.
Please wish my friend Carl Marcellino Happy New Year for me.
I certainly will. Carl Marcellino, Republican State Senator from Long Island, will be with us next to give his response to Governor Spitzer's State of the State proposal. Stay with us.
Over the next 5 years, we must hire 2,000 new full-time faculty members for SUNY and CUNY, including 250 eminent scholars.
Governor Spitzer again from the State of the State address. Now a Republican response to the governor's proposals. Here's State Senator Carl Marcellino of Long Island. His district is centered in Syosset. Senator, thanks for coming on. Good morning.
My pleasure, and Happy New Year to your listeners, and Happy New Year to my good friend David Patterson.
You heard it. Okay.
I heard it.
So the two big proposals from the governor, as you know, are the plan to overhaul SUNY and CUNY and appoint a commission to study how to cap property taxes. The first thing I want to ask you is, are these the right issues? Are these the right priorities, whether or not you agree with the specifics?
Well, they're amongst the right priorities. The property tax relief is clearly an important priority. The safety of our communities is clearly must be into that that mix. Making college tuition affordable for the middle class and everyone else is a key here also. It should be part of the mix.
So you're glad that the governor scuttled the idea from his higher education task force that would have allowed tuition to rise at the research centers in the SUNY system?
Yeah, I think that's a silly idea. The research centers, those parts of the SUNY system that need extra money are supported by those areas that don't cost as much money, so that it should even out over the whole system. It's a system, and it's a statewide system, so it should be one tuition. It shouldn't be multiple tuitions.
And the governor sees economic development in the state flowing from this idea to improve SUNY and CUNY as research institutions, because that will create technology jobs, other research-oriented jobs. But they're going to fund this $4 billion endowment by trying to sell or lease part of the state lottery. And we have one Democratic member of the Assembly today, Richard Brodsky, already criticizing that, saying that they're going to lease one revenue stream to create another revenue stream. It makes no fiscal sense. What do you think? What do you think your colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle think about that?
I'll speak for myself, but everyone I've spoken to thinks it's a bad idea. It would be the biggest one-shot that you get going. What happens next year? You've reached this amount of money. You've sold off the revenue stream of the lottery for whatever a period of time you're going to use, and then what do? So you spend the money, and then how do you make it up? You know, how do you replace that money in coming years? You can't sell it again. So you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to give away an asset. It doesn't make a lot of sense to sell off a revenue stream, you know, that is producing revenue into the coffers of the state. In a voluntary way, almost. I mean, nobody's forcing anybody to take on the lottery. They're doing it voluntarily. So this is something that people want and are willing to do. It's going for education. It goes into the general fund, yes, but it does pay for education, and it does go to school districts. So
if this is a one-shot that you oppose, but you like the idea of a $4 billion endowment as an investment in our economic future.
I didn't say I like the idea of a $4 billion endowment.
Okay.
What I do think is I do think we should be making college tuition affordable. And I do think that we should be looking at a system like my colleague Senator LaValle has introduced, and that would be to use something similar to the Harvard plan to help the colleges, and the state would kick in some money, the colleges would kick in some money for tuition, and the people involved who get the benefit of this program would commit to spending about 5 years in the state, working in the state and helping pay back through their efforts, not through money, but through their efforts and their work and their enterprise, the state that helps support their college education. We could look at a program along those lines, and that might work out well. My colleague, Senator Dean Skelos, has a program talking about the hiring of as new teachers are hired, the state would take over their salaries and benefits. Ultimately, the goal would be to save people $3,000 to $4,000 off their property taxes, and the schools would then pass that money back to the property taxpayers. They wouldn't be able to use the money; they'd have to give it back to the property taxpayers, because they would be relieved of the burden of paying salaries and pensions, which they tell us, and they're absolutely correct, it's about 75-80% of their costs. So the state is looking at programs. Now, whether or not all of these things work, that's another story. We need to look at them and we need to vet them. But these are ideas where we're not mortgaging the future, where we're not giving away assets. We're taking on responsibility and trying to do it in a responsible way. I agree with my colleague Richard Brodsky. It's not a good idea.
The governor on property taxes wants a study commission on how to cap them. Is that a good idea?
You know, you can flip a coin either way on this. I don't know if we need to study the issue ad nauseum. I mean, we all know that property taxes are too high. Now, how do we go about relieving them is the key. The fact that they're high, spending is too high. There's no doubt about that. How do we relieve it? The problem in Buffalo is not the same as the problem on Long Island, and it's not the same as the problem in Utica, and it's not the same as the problem in New York City, all different worlds. Different types of educational systems in different communities are approached in different ways and funded differently. So, do we need a commission to study the fact that we need to relieve the homeowners of their burden? I don't think so. We might want to look at methodologies that would work. We might be studying plans like I just mentioned, the plan that Senator LaValle put out, the plan that my colleague Senator Skelos put out. I have a plan, a bill that's been introduced to help take over special education costs. We've done that. We've also capped Medicaid spending. We've capped Child Health Plus. The state has picked up all the cost of these things. So we need to move forward with some concepts and some ideas. I don't know if we need a full-blown commission to do studies.
State Senate Republican Carl Marcellino from Syosset and surrounding towns on Long Island. My guest on WNYC reacting to Governor Spitzer's State of the State address. We can take a few phone calls for him at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Here is part of how the governor described how that property tax commission would work in his State of the State address.
Because school district property taxes account for about 70% of all property taxes, the commission must identify ways to maintain our commitment to the highest quality education at a more affordable cost. Second, it will return with proposals on how to make our tax relief system fairer to the middle-class taxpayer. And third, it will give us proposals for a fair and effective property tax cap to hold the line on sky-high property district property taxes once and for all. I have asked Nassau County Executive Tom Suozzi to lead this commission.
So, Senator Marcellino, Lieutenant Governor Patterson was telling us in the interview just before that this would be a bipartisan commission. So does that give you hope that they'd come up with things on, you know, it sounds pretty ambitious there from that clip, not just how to cap property taxes, but generally how to make our tax system fairer to the middle class taxpayer in the state and all of that?
Well, the fact that he's saying it's bipartisan or will be bipartisan is a good idea, but words are fine, but I'd like to see some action. The devil's in the details, and we haven't seen any of the details yet. And it is too soon. I mean, he just made this announcement that occurred the other day, so I guess we're going to have to wait to see who he appoints and who gets in part of this.
And to me, if Lieutenant Governor Patterson made any news here a few minutes ago, I don't know if you were on the line listening already at that point, he said he would expect this study commission to not be the typical study commission that makes everybody kind of shrug, you know, because you think you appoint a study commission to bury something, get it out of the way politically for a year or two. He thinks the study commission might actually come back with its proposals in time for this year's budget, which would mean just a month or two.
Well, knowing the history of study commissions and knowing the history of commissions that have been appointed in this state, many of them never report back. They people are appointed, and you talk to them, and you find out that they haven't met for a year. So I don't know what's going to happen. It depends on the leadership provided. It depends on the governor's insistence on this thing happening, and a time frame should be set. I mean, if it's going to be done in time for this year's budget process, then you need to have it done soon. You don't have a lot of time. Can you do something as ambitious as that in 30 days? I don't know. I think that would be very difficult. So, between now and April 1st, if we're going to get this budget done, because we're going to be getting his proposals very soon, we're going to be breaking up into subcommittees in both houses to prepare our response to it and our proposals, and all of that has to be negotiated. I'm not sure that a commission working on the outside, coming in with recommendations in the middle of a process that has a deadline of April 1st, can be done in an appropriate manner. I would have preferred that this commission had started last year, looking towards this year as an action point. That might have made more sense. Trying to do something all in one small, short period of time that is as complicated as revising the taxing system in the state of New York, which is huge and complicated, I don't think is going to be done in a very short period of time.
Nick in Seacliff, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm a lifelong resident of New York. I grew up in Brooklyn. Then I moved to Queens. Now I live in Nassau County. The taxes here are high, and the taxes throughout the state are high. One of the ways I think we can offset the taxes, and I've been listening to this since I'm a young kid. I'm very, very active politically in thoughts and in action. We have to create inducement to get businesses and corporations back into New York, not to make it so business unfriendly that we're sending them out of the state. By doing that, we create jobs, we create a bigger tax base, we create more contributors, not people who have their hands out on the dole. That's one point. The second point that has to do specifically with Nassau County is the enormous corruption in this county, the no-show jobs, the favoritism, the nepotism. That's got to be stopped. We can no longer subsidize this.
Nick, on your first point, do you like the governor's idea for this big investment in the SUNY system in particular to create more research jobs and, you know, attract industry to the state in that way?
Absolutely. We have to keep up with the times. We have to keep up with the technology. I happen to know the governor personally. I used to work with him.
Hmm.
I'll leave it at that. I'm retired law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, and I happen to like him, I think he's on target on this point. Okay? We are, as a nation, falling behind in technological jobs, in physics, in chemistry, in the life sciences. Europe and Asia are leaving us behind.
Nick, thank you. Senator Marcelino, do you want to react?
Well, we already have programs that, like Nick is talking about, they're called Empire Zones, they're called IDAs, they're called, we provide incentives to bring businesses here. We have a statewide entities that go out and reach out to other areas and try to attract businesses to our state. We do it all the time. The governor announced a couple of businesses just the other day in his speech that were moving into upstate New York. This happens routinely. We also lose them routinely. And one of the reasons why we lose them is because the state's not affordable. We have employers who want to come here. We have intelligent young people who want to stay here. And they get their education, but they find out that they can't afford to buy a home because they can't. Maybe they can make the down payment, but they can't meet the taxes that keep increasing. We need the affordability. We have employers that are willing to come. As I said, we need to provide people with the ability to remain on the island and to be able to stay in the state as well as Long Island. And by the way, if you look at the governor's speech, Long Island was mentioned only twice in the speech, basically in an aside. He talked about the Cold Spring Harbor, Brookhaven, Stony Brook Consortium, and that was it. And that's a good thing, and I'm going to go to a meeting to that later this afternoon and try to work something with these people on that. Mm-hmm. But that's going to provide something down the road. That's not going to be the long-term solution to affordability and jobs and keeping our young people here. We educate them. We want them to stay here. They want to stay here. But they can't get a career opportunity here.
Ann in Westchester wants to react to the idea of capping property taxes. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I just wanted to ask if you I live in Westchester in a small town. Almost all of our school taxes are funded by the residents. There's very small commercial tax base. Every year we struggle with having to cut out things out of our budget anyway. If you cap property taxes, how do you pay for the schools?
Senator?
Unless you increase class sizes, you reduce offerings.
So you see, Ann is making a very good point, and that's a point that has been made before when Governor Pataki proposed capping the property taxes on schools. And the argument was, well, what are you going to do to pay for it? How are you going to take on programs, or how are you going to take on the situation? Are you going to make them increase class sizes, lose services, cut program? All of these things have to be addressed. That's why this commission to study is extremely complex, and the governor seems to be leading towards that cap. I think that was the ultimate inference in the speech that was given yesterday, that he wants a cap.
So the cap, even though the Republicans are generally the party of lower taxes, a cap on property taxes is not something you necessarily support?
No, it's not something I would necessarily support. I got it. The devil's in the details, and I think you have to look at it carefully, because it could be, that Pandora's box that you opened up that you really didn't mean it. There's a whole the law of unintended consequences that comes into effect. What is the impact when you cap the property taxes on the services, the goods and services that those property taxes buy? Health care and all the rest of that's supported by your property taxes, the whole system of education. All and public safety. All the rest of that is impacted when you cap taxes.
We have a minute left. I want to ask you two other things real quick. One, this proposal to rename the Triborough Bridge, the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Bridge. Does the legislature get to vote on that?
I'm not sure.
Would you support, there are people from your town who drive the Northern State Parkway onto the Grand Central over the Triborough Bridge to get into Manhattan to work? You like that idea?
Not really.
Why?
I would rather name a park after Robert Kennedy and something else, but the Triborough Bridge, it's a Port Authority bridge. It was built by Robert Moses. I don't know that changing the name to honor Bob Kennedy is the way to go on that one.
And a question about your leader, Joe Bruno. Last month, he severed decades-long ties with an investment firm that provided consulting services to labor unions that had business dealings before the Senate. He didn't part ways with the company until it came to light in the press recently. The FBI is also probing Jared Abbruzzese, a Loudonville businessman, horse enthusiast, friend of Bruno. He's arranged private flights for the senator, and a private firm partly owned by him received $500,000 in state grants in a member item secured by Bruno, and the FBI is investigating that. Are there some serious ethics concerns that you're beginning to have about your party leader in the Senate?
I've known Joe Bruno for the last 13 years, and I found him to be nothing more than a highly ethical person and a very fine leader for the New York State Senate. The FBI is doing an investigation. So far as we've been told officially, they're not specifically investigating Mr. Bruno. They're investigating people around him and the companies that had dealings with him, but not specifically him. He's never been notified that he's the target of their investigation.
Should he at least have disclosed that consulting services investment firm tie before it came to light in the press, leading him to disinvest?
It was my understanding that process and those, although I don't know this directly, but it was my understanding that all of that was disclosed in the financial forms that we all have to submit to the Ethics Commission every year, so that he violated no laws and did what he was supposed to do with respect to filing all of his financial holdings. We all have to do this every single year, and they're all open for public scrutiny.
All right. Republican State Senator Carl Marcellino of Syosset and surrounding towns on Long Island, thanks a lot for coming on with us. We'll have you back.
My pleasure. Take care now.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in just a minute, we start a four-part January series on fitness and exercise. Part one, how to choose a gym.